So the epistle for the fifth Sunday after Easter is taken from James chapter 1. Dearly beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he shall be compared to a man beholding his own countenance in a glass. For he beheld himself and went his way, and presently forgot what manner of man he was. But he that hath looked into the perfect law of liberty and hath continued therein, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man think himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion clean and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs. The hour cometh when I will no more speak to you in Proverbs, but will show you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I shall say to you that I will ask the Father for you, and for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples say to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we know that thou knowest all things, and thou needest not that any man should ask thee, but this we believe, that thou comest forth from God." Please be seated. If angels could be jealous of men, they would be so for one reason, Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear children, dear faithful, usually on the Sunday that we have, First Holy Communion, the sermon is more directed toward the children, but I think in some ways we can all benefit from that, to consider and to think back, possibly to our own First Holy Communion, to consider the state of, as our children go up, the significance of the young children, how pleasing that is to Almighty God. The words I quoted for you at the very beginning come from St. Maximilian Kolbe, one who was very much devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, but then also to Holy Communion. This idea and this sense that God comes into our soul. And so for our children, it is the first time that they receive our Lord, the first time that they approach the communion rail to receive God into their soul. And I'd say what a special occasion it is for the families to have this great joy, to have this occasion to where one of their children receive God for the very first time, and how pleasing that is to Almighty God. Many saints and spiritual authors have said, what children ask for on their first Holy Communion will be granted because of how pleasing they are to God and how innocent that they are. So I do encourage you, children, to pray for your families, pray for your parents, for giving you this opportunity, and to obviously also to pray for those that have prepared you for it. And I always encourage them to pray for the priest who gives them their first Holy Communion. So remember Father MacDonald, old distinguished Father Dennis MacDonald, in case you know my brother, who's a priest. Don't want you praying for the wrong one. He needs praise too, bud. And so with that, it is very true. And I think it's fitting if you look at the epistle and the gospel for today also. Our Lord specifically says, "Ask and you shall receive. If you ask something in my name, you shall receive it." And I think for us, as our Lord even says here for his apostles, "You have not asked anything in my name." And I think it is something that we lose sight of. Because granted, maybe sometimes when we do pray, things aren't granted right away. And so we become discouraged. But I think it is the perseverance that we have that God is looking for. That God is asking from us to persevere in that. And so for our children, as they approach for the very first time, as I say, how pleasing it is for God to see the innocence of the children, signified by the white, obviously, that we see them wearing. That innocence is why our Lord says to be like children if you want to enter into heaven. It is because of that. And that is why he tells us and encourages us to be like children, simple and innocent. Innocent before the eyes of God. And that is why we pray for our children, that they always keep this, that they keep this innocence before, that they have right now, that they come before the altar, but that they will always keep it their whole life. I mentioned to them on the day of recollection yesterday that it is something that we pray for at their baptism. If you recall from baptism, one of the prayers of when the child is given a white cloth, it is begged of God that they never sully this cloth, the signification of their soul. They never sully their soul. That it always keeps this whiteness. And so that was prayed for at that time. And so now, 6, 7, 8 years later, whenever they were receiving their Holy Communion, again, we ask God for that. That they truly will never sully their soul. That is so white and so pleasing to Almighty God. And so that's what I say, ask and you shall receive. Whatever special intentions you have to ask for. And I thought it also good to relate to you the story of Francisco, one of the children at Fatima. I mentioned to you this coming Thursday is the anniversary of the children receiving the vision of Our Lady of Fatima. But Francisco, before the end of his life, he was granted a special grace. And it's interesting to read this account, so I'll read different parts to you. Because once they had the vision of hell, the children, it was impressed upon Francisco, Jacinta, Lucia, this idea of sacrifice, to make up for the sins of others, to console our Lord and our Lady. And so it says, for Francisco, his only desire was to console our Lord and our Lady who seemed to him so sorrowful. And so that was impressed upon this child of how sorrowful our Lord and our Lady were. And why? Obviously because of sins, the sins of mankind. And so here you have this little child that wants to do all that he can in order to repair for that damage that has been done. The damage that has been done, he wanted to repair for. So it's related of Francisco in his last days. He mentions to his mother, he says, Mother, I cannot say the rosary. I cannot even say the Hail Mary without being distracted. So his mother says, if you can't pray with your lips, do it with your heart. It will make our Lord happy just the same. And so from that, Francisco felt happy, and it was an encouragement to him. An encouragement to be able to at least still offer something to Almighty God. But as he continued to grow weaker and weaker, he was realizing that his end was near. And so he asked his father at that point, he said to his father, before I die, I want to receive our Lord. So at this point, he had not received his first Holy Communion yet. And so Francisco's words were a sword in the heart of his loving father. One, he hated the thought of losing his little boy. But it says, with manly courage, he spoke up, "I'll take care of that right away. I'll go right now to see the priest." And so here you have this request of Francisco, basically on his deathbed, wanting to receive our Lord. A wanting to receive our Lord for the very first time. And so it worked out. His father found the priest. And the priest said he would come. So it says that afternoon the priest came to hear Francisco's confession and promised to bring him his first Holy Communion in the morning. So he came over, he heard his confession to prepare his soul. And then he promised that he would bring him Holy Communion in the morning. It's interesting to see Francisco asking his sister, asking his cousin Lucia, if they knew of any sins he had committed, because he wanted to make sure that he was prepared. How many of us will ask our siblings what sins we've committed? We'd probably get a litany from them. But he wanted to prepare himself well. So the next morning, he could hear the bell coming, the bell signifying that our Lord was coming. And so for him, when he heard that bell, he tried to get out of his bed, but he did not have the strength to do so, so he fell back. And so all that he could do is just to try to prepare his soul for the coming of our Lord into his soul. So it says he received Jesus into his heart, closed his eyes in prayer, abiding in Jesus as he abode in him. As the feeling of the presence of God pervaded him, he recalled that the other day when the angel came and together they adored Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, this faithful boy had given his life to make reparation to the hearts of Jesus and Mary for the sins of men. And so here you have this little child who all he wanted to do was to receive our Lord. And the realization came to him that he offered his life in reparation. And so for him, he had asked his mother, "Will the priest bring me communion again tomorrow?" So he received it once, and he wanted to continue. But it is said of him that this was his first and his last. Tomorrow he would be with Jesus and Mary in heaven. And so there you have Francisco, just a child. I think in some ways, too often, we don't give our children enough credit of what they can do and how pleasing they can be to God. And so that is why it is important for us to prepare them well, to prepare them that they understand who they are receiving, that they are receiving God into their soul, and how, just as Francisco realized that God abode in him, God lived in him, and how after today's Mass, our children, they will have God in their soul through Holy Communion. But as I say, it should be our prayer, obviously, for the families, but for all of us, to pray that these children always keep this purity, this innocence before God. Because we see how Francisco, how pleasing he was to Almighty God. How pleasing his intentions were. And the same thing will be for our children as they approach the communion rail for the very first time. They will receive their Holy Communion before any of the servers, before anyone else. Because this is their day. Obviously, it's also Mother's Day, so it's Mother's Day too, but I know you mothers who especially have a first communicant, how special of a day it is for you. What a great gift. But that should be our prayer, and it even says at the end of the epistle, to keep oneself unspotted from this world, That should be the prayer that we have for these children. For all of us, it should be the same prayer. And granted, maybe through our lives, we have fallen from that grace. But that is why God has given us confession, to continue to come back into that grace, to try to persevere in having the same intention that these children have. And that is why God gave us confession, to be able to be pleasing to Him, to receive Him worthily. And that is what we must take advantage of. Take advantage of the sacraments that God gives to us. And so, truly, for our dear children, it is a special day for you. I do ask that you pray before going up to receiving Holy Communion and then after, that you always keep this purity. That God strengthens you through Holy Communion to try to receive it as often as you can, following the example of Francisco. Receiving his first Holy Communion, he asked, well, can the priest come tomorrow? You see that desire. You see that love. And for the children, I hope you have that same intention. Because with that desire, if you have that desire to receive our Lord, you will always want to be worthy so that you could receive Holy Communion every day if possible. And as I say, for all of us, it should be a great reminder to us. Whether it's been 30 years since our last Holy Communion and our first Holy Communion, or 50 or 60, whatever it may be, it is a good reminder to us of how pleasing we were that first day that we went up. And God willing, hopefully, we're still pleasing to Almighty God. But I think it can help us as we see these children being prepared for this step and how going up, of how happy God is to come into their soul, to abide with them. That it should give us that same feeling of trying to do the same thing for our soul each time that we receive. To almost treat it as it will be our first Holy Communion. Because as I say, if we kept those intentions, we will always be pleasing to God. That God would want to abide in us. And so that's why St. Maximilian's quote, how fitting that is. If angels could be jealous of men, it would be because of one thing. Because of Holy Communion. Of having God in our soul. I mean, the angels are in heaven before the throne of God, praising God, being pleasing to God. But we have the chance to have God in our soul to help us every day of our life. I mean, do we think about that? Do we consider that when we just come up for Holy Communion? I mean, do we consider truly that we too are receiving God and He's going to abide in us? And He will abide in us as long as we do not fall into mortal sin. And so, yes, it is a joyful occasion for us all. These children have been prepared for this step. As I say, children, pray. Pray for your families, for what they have given to you, of giving you this chance. You know, pray for them. Pray for the church. The church needs the prayers of her children. Your prayers are powerful. Sometimes our prayers kind of lose some of their power. But you children have powerful prayers before God. So do pray for the church, pray for your families, pray for all of us, that all of us will truly approach the communion rail in the same way, of always wanting to be pleasing to Almighty God. And so that's truly, we will be like Francisco, that we will be with God one day in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.